Good morning, and thank you all for coming. Is that going to work? It works for him, I know. Good morning. I'm Sue Dvorsky, and I'm the chair of the Iowa Democratic Party. Thank you all for being here this morning. We're here to talk about the fact that tomorrow is Election Day in Iowa. Election Day 2010, we're very excited about it, all over Iowa. Iowans will be able to vote early. They'll be able to vote by mail. They'll be able to vote early in person at their auditor's offices. We have been preparing for Election Day tomorrow since last year, and we are very excited to get ready to kick it off. We have had a robust program. We have 20 offices open across the state. We have made we've made thousands and thousands of voter contacts at the doors, on the phones, in person. We've been offering Iowans an opportunity to make their plans to either vote early by mail, vote early at their auditor's offices and other early voting sites, or make their plans to vote on November 2nd. We've been at the doors in all 99 counties. We have got a program that is robust. We have met or exceeded every goal that we set for it when it was developed. It was developed in order to make sure in this midterm election that we targeted Iowans who had voted either for the first time in 2008 or typically are not voters in midterm elections. We know that we have a 55,000 voter registration edge for the Democratic Party, but we also know that it is the independents and no parties and like-minded independents who will swing this election, and so that is who we have been targeting. We know that our Democratic base will come out and vote. They will make their own plans to do that, and so we have really made sure that we have contacted those voters who typically may not be as willing or ready to vote in a midterm election. We are very excited about the numbers that we've got. We have a nearly 4-to-1 early voting registration edge in the auditor's offices over our friends in the Republican Party. But as importantly, and perhaps more importantly, we have 85% of more than 11,000 people who register no party are ready right now to vote early by mail. And we know that we are the ones who contacted those voters at their doors, on the phone, all summer. And so we're very excited to get this kicked off tomorrow. We're ready to go, and we are very, very much anticipating that in November, we will really be finishing up voting, which is going to really start tomorrow and go for the next 40 days. And Governor Culver, we did that to make sure that your message was what you were delivering so that we can deliver the votes, deliver the voters, and we're ready to go.
All right. Thank you, Sue. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Chairwoman Dvorsky, for your leadership. We really appreciate everything that you've done, along with the Iowa Democratic Party staff, our volunteers from across the state. I think the fact that we are ahead in terms of the early voting and the absentee ballot requests suggests that we've got a fantastic team, and we couldn't have a better, more capable leader than you at the helm. So thank you, Sue, for your leadership very much. You know, today really starts the election of 2010, as Sue said, and it really boils down to a choice, and that choice is clear. Do we want to move forward, or do we want to go backwards to the failed policies of the past, the failed policies of Terry Branstad? I think most Iowans want to go forward. They want more health care for their kids. They want more preschool opportunities for 4-year-olds across the state. They want more embryonic stem cell research in the state of Iowa. They want us to continue to lead in terms of renewable energy so that Iowa can remain the renewable energy capital of the United States and the Silicon Prairie of the Midwest. They want more in terms of civil rights in this state. They want more in terms of workers' rights and women's rights. Terry Branstad wants to take us back. On every one of these issues, he wants to take preschool away from our kids, and instead he'd take that money that we're spending for our kids and give it away in the form of a corporate income tax to out-of-state corporations. He wants to take us backwards in terms of preschool opportunities. He says that he thinks that preschool and health care in Iowa have become entitlements. He says that it costs too much to provide health care to our kids. He says it's too lucrative. It's too expensive. Well, I think he's completely wrong. We need more for our kids. We need more for Iowa children across this state. He wants to take us backward in terms of renewable energy. Iowa has distinguished itself as a national leader, now producing 20% of our power from renewable sources. Terry Branstad wants to take funding away from the Iowa Power Fund, which has allowed us to become the Silicon Prairie of the Midwest, which has allowed us to lead America in this exciting renewable energy revolution. Terry Branstad is opposed to embryonic stem cell research at the University of Iowa. The only reason we built the Center for Bioscience and Discovery is because in 2007, we lifted the ban on stem cell research, on embryonic stem cell research in this state. Terry Branstad wants to put that ban back in place. He wants to amend our Constitution in a way that we would all know would be discriminatory. And so in every instance, again, he wants to take us backwards. Iowans have always been forward-thinking. This election shouldn't be about just politics and who's in control. This election should be about the next generation of Iowans. That's why Democrats are going to win. That's why the Culver Judge ticket is going to win on November 2nd. And we're working hard. We're not paying attention to the pundits, to the prognosticators, to those that want to question, you know, or predict 40 days out what's going to happen on November 2nd. The Democratic Party, we believe in the electorate. We have faith in Iowans. We want to give them an opportunity to make their choice be known, to make it clear to the rest of the country and to Iowans across this state that we want to go forward. We don't want to go backwards with the failed policies of the past. And speaking of failed policies of the past, today Terry Branstad is in southern Iowa, once again making a false promise. He's talked about creating magically 200,000 new jobs. Well, it sounds familiar. In fact, in 1982, the first time he ran for governor, he promised the whole campaign he's going to go out and create 200,000 new jobs. Well, he came up about 165,000 short. So he broke his promise to Iowa voters in 1982. He's going to make another false promise today, and he has throughout this campaign of a jobs number that he's pulling out of thin air. 1994, history repeated itself. He runs for governor, promises to create 300,000 new jobs. Came up about 260,000 short. So he has failed on his promises in the past with respect to job creation. He's failed on his promises when he told the teachers for 16 years that he'd bring them to the national average. When he took office, they were 26th. When he left office, they were 35th. And those false promises don't work with the Iowa electorate. So we're going to focus on the facts. We're going to focus on our record of getting things done, our record of moving this state forward during very difficult times. And we're going to focus on the failed record of Terry Branstad. But most importantly, this election is going to be about the future. So we're going to make it very clear to Iowa voters that we want to expand preschool to every four-year-old in this state. We now have four-year-old preschool in 325 districts. In my second term, we're going to take that to 359 districts. So every Iowa four-year-old has a chance to go to preschool. Healthcare, we want 100% of our kids to have healthcare coverage. Again, Terry Branstad wants to take healthcare away. He wants to reduce the eligibility level for Iowa families. We want 100% of our kids to have preschool opportunities. In my second term, we want Iowa to be the national leader in terms of research, scientific research, renewable energy research. We want Iowa to help find the cures to diabetes, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. That's why we're pushing so hard to move forward on embryonic stem cell research at the University of Iowa. We want to continue our research
thanks to the Iowa Power Fund, in renewable energy as well. So in our second term, we can have the breakthrough technologies of the future. So we can export some of these energy solutions to other places around the world, so that Iowa can be a net exporter of not only power, but also of technologies of the future. We want to lead in terms of prevention of cancer. We want to lead in terms of screening for breast cancer, cervical cancer. We want Iowa to lead the way in terms of preventing early and untimely death. We want Iowa to lead the way in terms of providing the best health care in America to all of our people. Finally, we want to recover from the floods. We want to be the best connected state in America in my second term. We're going to have a high-speed rail from Chicago to Iowa City, a high-speed passenger rail. We're going to rebuild our eastern part of the state that was devastated by the floods. We're going to move forward on 1,700 iJobs projects so that Iowa can and will become the best connected state in America. Short term, we'll create jobs with that focus on our infrastructure. Long term, we'll create unprecedented economic growth, because every business, large and small, wants a well-connected, modern, 21st century state. That's exactly what Iowa has to offer today, but even more so in the future. We're going to continue our economic development and workforce development efforts so that Iowa can continue to be a model for the nation when it comes to public-private partnerships at the Department of Economic Development. That's why we've successfully worked with 270 companies over the last 36 months, including IBM, Google, and Microsoft, to bring 20,000 new jobs to this state with a total investment of $5.3 billion. And we're not going to rest in terms of our efforts to find jobs for those people that have been displaced during this economic downturn. Workforce development and job training programs will continue to be a focus. We've placed more than 100,000 people in the last 4 years into good paying jobs. That's one of the reasons our unemployment rate today is 30% below the national average at 6.8%, and the eighth lowest in America today. We're on the right track. Iowa's growing again. We have a balanced budget. We have a AAA bond rating, and for all those reasons that I've just outlined, we're going to win, and we're going to win decisively on November 2nd, and let the voting begin today, tomorrow, across Iowa. Thank you all very much. Thanks, Sue.
Actually, what we're looking at, we're surpassing our numbers from 2006. We're surpassing on every matrix from 2006. We have more votes in the bank. We have more staff on the ground. We have had more contact with voters. Our program, one of the things that's happened every 2 years, our program is better. It's more efficient. We take the lessons that we've learned from the 2 years before. We take the list that we have from the 2 years before. Our program this year has been set up, really is a different, it's a different program than we were working in 2006.
Well,
one of the things that is important to note, you can't come in late on a program like this and do it in 40 days. We've been planning for it for a year and a half and implementing it since last October. Because it's that kind of program. We have got we are ahead now statewide in voter registrations that are in, and that is before our numbers at this point in 06. We'd already had a mailing on the ground for a week. Our mailing only went out yesterday. So we really have surpassed with a tighter, leaner, more efficient program anything that we had in 2006. So we're very optimistic about that. We have targeted voters who were first-time voters in 2008. We have targeted voters who typically are not midterm voters. And that's why we've implemented the program, where we've implemented it, and how we've done it. So it's a more efficient program than we were running in 2006.
Was the special election in South Central Iowa and the one in December in Cedar Rapids sort of a test run for this?
I don't know that it was a test run as much as it was we really saw that it works. That's how, and particularly in Fairfield, I think is a really good example of how it works. We absolutely identify who our voters are likely to be. We go to those doors, we contact them. We don't just contact them once, we contact them multiple times. We contact them at the door, by phone. It's one of the reasons why the volunteer pool that we've got is so critical, supported by this really excellent staff spread out across the state. iowavoteserly.com is a project of the Iowa Democratic Party, and you get to it from the IDP website. And it is a really great example of how every cycle we take our technology, tune it up, make it better, and apply it in an old-fashioned way to getting to voters. When you click on that, you can first watch a cool little video, you know, about voting and why it's important. But then the other thing you can do is vote on a button that gets you to an absentee ballot request form. If you don't have access to a printer, then it gets you right there on the page, send us a note, we'll print it and mail it for you. Another button that you can click on is the button that gets you to the auditor sites and a Google map of the entire state, and then all 99 auditor sites, where with one click, you can get into, in one click, I can get to Johnson County Auditor and get the calendar of all the early voting sites. A second click gets me the Google map and the directions on how to get there. So it's a remarkably efficient way to get voters, not just Democratic voters, but our like-minded independents as well, easy access. Easy access, accessibility, opening up the availability, the ease of voting. Secretary, before he was governor, you know, he was Secretary of State. So, and before that, he was a social studies teacher in high school. So Chuck Culver's whole deal, his whole professional life has been about the civic engagement of voters. And this voting is the most basic civic engagement you can have. So programs that Governor Culver, then Secretary Culver started, that Secretary Morrow has actually been able to make more robust because we've got better technology every about 6 hours. That is the kind of thing that we're looking at in the Democratic Party. It's why we're so excited about these numbers.
Could you tell me the proportion of emphasis you're placing on the first 39 days versus the last day?
I do know what you mean, and it isn't really so much a proportion of emphasis as it is different phases of the program. The phase of the program that set us up to have this 4-to-1 voter registration request edge, the absentee ballot request edge, that program started in October, kicked into a new phase in June when we opened the offices. That part of the program now is now morphing into getting people to vote those ballots that they requested, getting people to the early voting sites, and then the last 4 days, the 4 days of the weekend, the second back to the Saturday, is really a more traditional program of going to the doors. We've got the list of the people that haven't voted yet and working that. And I would submit to you, and I know that I'm biased, but I would submit to you that we are better at that than anybody. In fact, we are better at that than most parties in any other state. That is a thing we know how to do. That kind of retail at the door those last 4 days, that we will blow expectations out of the water. But before that happens, this next 37 days, if you will, is the next phase of the program.
How do you respond that your absentee ballots in some of the residential hubs of the state are lower now than they were at this time in 2006?
One of the ways that we respond to that, and this is by way of not giving away the entire magic, but the reason for that is that when we did this in 2006, we really did not have the kind of targeted program we have now. In 2006, we were learning how to do this and educating our voters on voting early by mail, voting early in person. And so in 2006, we were not nearly as targeted as we are now. There is no doubt in my mind. I'm going home tonight, home being Johnson County. I'm going home tonight to be available tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. I will be at the Johnson County Auditor's Office with Bob's and my 18-year-old daughter, who will cast her first vote for the first time, I'm assuming for her dad. Her dad is on the ballot, and Caroline and Bob and I will go together tomorrow morning to do that early. I have no doubt we do not need in, say, Johnson County or Linn County, we do not need to drive out our Democratic voters. His message, Patty's message, Roxanne Conlin's message drives out our Democratic voters. So what we are doing with the program this year is doing more than it was ever intended to do to get to our Democratic voters and our like-minded independent voters who would not typically be voting in a midterm election. Midterm elections are historically lower turnout, and so our job this time was really quite different, and our technology was different, our purpose was different. And so that's why statewide we've got this huge edge. We didn't target. There are very few voters in, say, a place like Johnson that have to be driven out by a program that starts in June. They'll come on their own.
Given that there was a record number of youth voters in 2008, what specifically are you going to do to get them to come back out in 2010?
Well, one of the things that I don't mean to keep throwing Caroline Dvorsky out there, but Caroline Dvorsky is a great example of how we're doing this. She happens to be a freshman at the University of Iowa and also coincidentally happens to be the head of Chet Culver and Patty Judge's effort on the University of Iowa campus. So the way we're doing it on the campuses is actually the way we did it when President Obama came through here with that historic use, you know, that historic turnout of young voters. We're going to them exactly the way that we go to older voters. The way this happens is you go to them, you lay it out for them, you ask them to vote, and you ask how you can make it easier to do it. That's exactly what we're doing with the campuses all across the state. We have a terrific young woman, Elizabeth Rennick, who is on the State Central Committee, who is the Iowa College Democrats liaison. So those bright, incredibly bright, engaged young people that came out in 2008, we do not intend. Voting is a habit. It's a civic habit. If you do it once, your chances of doing it again are higher. If you do it twice, then your chances of doing it three times are really high. So it is absolutely part of the mentoring of these young people who were voters. I speak as a parent of college-age children and as a long, long-time teacher. Part of the mentoring that we need to do with first-time voters, whatever their age is get them to do it twice. And so that's one of the huge advantages that we come into this election. We come in with the names and numbers from 08.
We also have, obviously, this organization here, Organize for America, and President Obama's statewide and national network, which is really going to focus on communications with those first-time voters.
Yep.
In particular, 100,000 new voters in Iowa alone. And we have no doubt that we're going to be able to move them. It won't hurt at all that the president will be here next week. The fact that they've got this statewide organization and national organization, which will also help us move people to vote as well.
Governor, will you appear at an event with President Obama next week here in Des Moines?
Absolutely.
Will he campaign for you?
You know, good policy is good politics, and next week with the president, we're going to highlight the fact that Iowa has one of the fastest growing economies in America, that according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, we have the eighth fastest growing economy. He's going to highlight what we've done to work successfully with 260 companies to create 20,000 new jobs. He'll highlight our success in renewable energy in particular. The new green-collar jobs that we've created in these manufacturing facilities in places like Newton. So I absolutely will stand with him to talk about our record. I wouldn't trade places with any governor in America today. Our economy is moving fast, if not faster, than any state in the nation. CNBC had me on their national broadcast a couple days ago to highlight our success during these challenging times. Our unemployment rate actually went from 9th to 8th lowest in America. The other thing about Terry Branstad's
false promises. The only thing he's really told us about his job creation focus is that he wants to emulate the Indiana model. Indiana or Mississippi. Well, Indiana yesterday slipped. They used to have the ninth worst unemployment rate in America. Now it's the eighth worst in America. 50% higher than Iowa's unemployment rate. Their program has been riddled with scandal. There's been no transparency. There's been no accountability. There's been no oversight. And that Indiana model has been a disaster. So if not only has he broken his promises in the past with respect to job creation, but he's now telling Iowans that he wants us to create a model that is actually one of the worst in America today, and that's how he expects to create magically these jobs. So we have a lot of momentum going right now in this campaign. Last Tuesday night, Iowans for the first time had the opportunity to see the two candidates for governor side by side. We made the choice crystal clear in Sioux City in terms of health care, preschool, embryonic stem cell research, economic development, workforce development, infrastructure, and we will continue to make that choice clear to voters every single day. And that's why we're going to win. This campaign's about the future. It's not about the failed policies and the false promises of the past from Terry Branstad.
Well, Rod, a couple of reasons. It isn't a feeling. If you look at the FEC report, we are here on the ground in Iowa, outraising the Republican Party of Iowa by to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm on the phone all the time. He's on the phone almost all the time. This is just not being borne out by the numbers. It isn't my feeling. It just isn't being borne out by the numbers. We are blowing through early registration early voter request. We are outraising, we are outspending because we're running incredibly robust programs on the ground, and we have more cash on hand. So the statistics simply belie that. Now, for the narrative, you know, another thing that's going to happen tomorrow, and I think it bears mentioning, tomorrow is the first day of the election in Iowa. Tomorrow is also the first day in Iowa and across this country that you can't be kicked off your health insurance for getting sick. Tomorrow is the first day of the new future where if you have a child that you have happily gotten through some catastrophic illness, you don't spend the rest of your life worrying that that child will never be able to get insurance and you'll never be able to leave your job. The message is right. The president's coming here to remind all of us the enormously robust and incredibly important things that have been done in Washington by him, by a Democratic Congress, and in Iowa by Chet Culver, Patty Judge, and a Democratic legislature. So when he goes to drive that message, it's our job to drive the program. And on every metric, we're winning. So
I might add, too, that all politics is local. You know, Terry Branstad's not going to do well in eastern Iowa because he's against the Iowa Jobs and Infrastructure Initiative. He is opposed to $330 million of direct state assistance to dozens and dozens of communities. He's against every project on the University of Iowa campus. He doesn't want to rebuild Hancher. He's against the $100 million that we gave President Mason and the university through iJobs so they could recover. He's against downtown Cedar Rapids and the 20 different projects that iJobs has helped fund there. All politics is local. He's against the new city hall in Jessup. He's against the new aquatic center in Spencer. We're going to win based on what's happened in Iowa, not what's happening in Washington, D.C. or anywhere else. Bruce Braley is going to talk about what he's done in his district specifically, along with Leonard Boswell and Dave Lopesack. We're not caught up in this national situation. In Iowa, we're moving forward. We have a AAA bond rating, a balanced budget. The Tea Party folks aren't focused in this state, in part because we've managed well. We've governed effectively. We have hundreds of millions in our cash reserve. So we're going to make it clear to the Iowa voters that it, as far as we're concerned, we've gotten it done. And it's the Democrats at the legislature that have lended a helping hand to those businesses and those homeowners and those communities that were devastated by the flood, and Terry Branstad's for pay-as-you-go flood recovery. So he's basically telling Eastern Iowa, you're just going to have to wait 10, 20, 30 years before we can help you. That's not the worst of it. The hypocrisy is he bonded for $4.3 billion when he was governor, and he bought the state of Iowa telephone company with $400 million. And he borrowed $3 billion just to pay the bills. So we're going to localize this election. And it's going to be very difficult for him to go to Marshalltown and explain to those veterans up there at that home why he's against that $100 million renovation of the veterans' home thanks to IJOPS. $100 million. He wants those veterans to wait for a new home for another 10, 20, 30 years. Our phones have been ringing off the hook. Our website has been lit up. The party has had more volunteers come forward in the last 10 days than at any point this cycle. We made it clear last Tuesday night that we're moving this state forward, that this election is about the future, not the past. And Terry Branstad stood up and said he was against everything, and he was for nothing. I talked to a Republican yesterday who's supporting me in Cedar Rapids and said, Terry Branstad, this whole campaign hasn't offered me one thing, nothing. He's against stem cell research, he's against preschool, he's against healthcare. There's no question we're moving quickly. We've got a long time to go, and we're gonna let the voters decide. If the Republicans wanna start, popping champagne corks, that's great, because it'll take them away from the real tough work of turning out the vote. They've been overconfident before. You remember Governor Lightfoot? And they're overconfident this year. And we're putting this in the hands of the voters. And we have faith in the people of Iowa that they're gonna make this choice a choice to move Iowa forward. Thank you all very much.
Good job.